Yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, joined by the Bible scholar, Charles Leger, a.k.a. Granddaddy. If you're curious, we're just two guys looking to spread love, hope, and joy across the world by sharing with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changed our lives. And we made this podcast so we could specifically show you how it's going to change and impact your life as well. So we aim to take this message across the world, and you can help us do that by going to anchor.fm/unchained. That's anchor.fm/unchained. And from that page, guys, you got three options. The first option is called More Places to Listen. Click it, guys, and then you can listen to us on your favorite podcast station. That helps keep us on the air. Or you can click the button right below that, and you can donate to help keep us alive. You can make a small monthly contribution, or you can leave us a voice message and tell us how this podcast has changed your lives. Thank you, guys. Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Again, you're going to have to keep the Bible scholar in your prayers, Mr. Charles Leger. Still dealing with family stuff, man. So, yeah, hold him up in your prayers. Happy Sunday morning. Again, I told you my new place of solace was the lake. I'm here again. It's beautiful. The water's moving. Slight breeze in the air. But it is cold, though, so I'm not getting outside. I'm not going outside. You can forget that. I hope all of you have had a great week, and I hope that what I shared with you guys last week, I hope that kind of gave you guys some inspiration to want to be effective, you know, in all areas. And the reason why I gave you guys, the reason I've been giving you guys like these messages, especially the way that I've been giving them, is because I'm trying to walk you through where my mind has been mentally, where my productivity went so low. I'm sharing with you guys like my heart and my mind and what's been in my spirit. But as God is strengthening me, I'm pouring out to you guys. So I hope and I pray that it is having an impact on your life, because that's the only reason why I even decided that I wanted to do the podcast. When God gave me the idea about the concept, he said, yo, just go and feed my sheep. And that's what I'm here to do week in, week out. I'm going to give you guys the best that I have to bring to the table. I will never, ever give you a half productive podcast, right? So when I actually write these things up, when I put the notes together, I'm making them with you in mind. They come from my own Bible study with direct revelation for what the Spirit of God wants to share with me. And that's what I impart to you guys. So with all that being said, man, again, I hope they're making a lasting impact on your life. I hope you guys are taking notes, and I hope that you're applying, what I'm sharing with you guys. So, again, like last week, we talked about don't be useless, right? We want to make sure that we're leaving our stamp in this world. We're making our mark. We're doing everything possible to do something for the kingdom of God. And whatever way you find creative to do, that don't mean you have to, you know, put something about Christianity in your tagline about your business. That don't mean you got to go and shout it from the rooftops, right? We just want to do good to others. We just want to make sure that we treat others how we want to be treated. And sometimes that's hard. So, you know, when we have those self-revelatory moments, you know, we can get out of our own way, recognize where we're being prideful, recognize where we're not being fair across the board. And then that's kind of where we build. You know, we apologize, we repent, and then we want to do our best to, you know, just be a light in this world. Right. So today we're going to be talking about really, you know, just being effective, but we want to talk about that in the context of like not making excuses for why you haven't got to where you've gotten to. Right. When it comes to making excuses, it's very easy for us to shovel what we're supposed to be doing, to shovel it off as responsibility for someone else. And that's not what we want to get to. So today, I'm going to keep it short. I know last week I was a little bit long winded, but that's because there was a lot of material to share. I wanted that stuff to sink in. These are actual, steps that I've taken in the past and still take them. Right. I always find a way to come back to challenge myself in every area of my life so that I can be effective. Okay. You know, and then again, like I said, that's why we've done these in this type of series. I know, everyone is doing, you know, sermons on Thanksgiving. They're talking about, you know, giving thanks, and yo, that's true. That's true. But I believe one of the ways that we can show that we're truly thankful and grateful for the life that we have is being effective with the life that we've been given. I think there's no there's nothing more dishonorable to God than to have a life that is full of potential and operate way below the bar. I believe a life of thanks is shown in how we act and how we operate and making the most of our experiences and opportunities when we get these experiences and opportunities every day. Every single day the Lord allows us to wake up is an opportunity to do something great and honor his name by doing so. So without further ado, we're going to move forward and we're going to pray. All right. So dear Father God, I pray that those who are listening, those who are tuning in today, I pray that, you know, that our eyes and ears and hearts are open for you to plant the seed, Father, of transformation within our hearts. I pray, Father God, that you touch each and every one of us. I pray that, you know, these seeds are protected, Father, as they fall within our minds. Father, we rebuke the hand of the enemy who wants to come and take these seeds, Father. So we pray that once they're planted, they stay and that you water, Father God. We pray that, again, this word becomes live, may become real, may become evident, may it change the way we think forevermore. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I had this, I really can't call it epiphany. It's revelation from the word. And I remember, almost a year ago when I was doing, our weekly, actually they weren't weekly, they were nightly. We would do these coaching calls every night with, the crew that I was working with. And we had read a verse out of John chapter 5. And I kind of short sighted it because I had only read like one verse, but it's John chapter 5:1-9. And I want to actually read the scripture and I want to try to break this down the best way that I can. Please forgive me if you hear rustling in the background because I got papers where I've written down notes. Okay, so just bear with me. But I want you guys to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5:1-9. excuse me. But pull it up on your phone and just follow along with me. I like reading out of the NLT. You can read out of whatever, you know, you want to read, but I'm gonna read out of the NLT and then I'm gonna turn around and I'm gonna read out of the Message version. The reason why is because I want to paint the picture of what I'm reading, and then I want you guys to understand so that the word can begin to unfold as we're reading it. And then I'm going to close down with just a few questions, and I want you to be honest and real with yourself, and I want you to write the answer to these questions down, and I want you to meditate on those and be real and be honest with yourself. Because I am a thinker when I need to think. Like I've learned to think. I used to be a very emotional and I guess what do you call it? Impulsive person. Yeah. I used to act on my impulses, act out of my feelings and emotions. And we can't always do that. Okay. We can't do that, because they have negative effects. Okay. So, but anyway, John chapter 5:1-9, let's start here. It says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Okay, I'm going to read this in another version, okay? I'm going to read this from the Message version. It says, soon another feast came around and Jesus was back in Jerusalem. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem was a pool, in Hebrew called Bethesda, with 5 alcoves. Hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, were in these alcoves. One man had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him stretched out by the pool and knew how long he had been there, he said, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man said, "Sir, When the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, somebody else is already in. Jesus said, get up, take up your bedroll, and start walking. The man was healed on the spot. Okay, and then it said he walked off. So the difference between the two, sorry guys, I got nasal drainage, whatever. But anyway, the difference between the two is that in the NLT version, it just mentions that someone always gets to the pool ahead of him before he can get in the water. Okay. Now in the Message version, it says he is stretched out by the pool. Okay. So the other version doesn't tell how close he was. The other one says that he is by the pool. All right. And the other difference in how this is worded is, not really in how it's worded, but it paints the picture that there are blind, crippled, and paralyzed people in these porches or alcoves, okay? But the Bible does not distinctively say that he is paralyzed, blind, or crippled. It just says that he's sick, okay? And I told you guys last week that we're going to tie last week our message about, you know, being useful to this week. Okay. This is a two part thing. All right. And so I have the thing that jumped out at me more than anything is the question that Jesus asked him. It was a question. Okay. This is what we're going to hammer on. Jesus asked the man, would you like to get well? Because there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus could heal this man. The question, I believe, and this is what God gave to me, the question was not a matter of Jesus could heal him, but it was a question in the matter in the man's belief or Jesus's ability to heal him. The question was he going to accept the healing, or could he accept the possibility that his life could change at that moment? Right? Because the Bible identifies that there will be an angel come down and stir the waters. And these waters were believed to have healing powers in them. Okay. Any person who got in this water was made whole right then and there. You feel me? But what this man did not realize is that Jesus himself is living water. Okay. The healing water himself was actually there in the flesh. See, the angels came down from the source of the healer. The angels came down from the source of power. Okay? So the question now becomes, can you really believe in the source of power to make you well? Right? That's the difference. Can you believe in the source of power to make you well? Can you believe in the source of power to make you whole? We've read many, many times throughout the New Testament where Jesus was healing people, where he was going to places, and his response always was, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has done this thing for you. Is your faith, and this is no different. Jesus was questioning the man's belief and his power to heal him. Would you like to get well? If Jesus were to walk in a hospital right now and go in a room with people who have been in car accidents, people who need heart transplants, liver transplants, people who are crippled, people who have cancer, people who are given a death sentence, may have a few hours left to live. That's a rhetorical question. Do you want to get well? Of course I want to get well. In my opinion, I'm like, why would you ask me that? Of course the man wants to get well. He's been sick his entire life. So the question is not whether or not he wants to get well. The question now becomes, do you believe that I can heal you? Do you believe that you can become well? There's a story in this book that I read one time that talked about this little small community. And there was a group of sick people that will come out at a certain day during the week. And during a certain day during the week, these sick people will get the opportunity to go and touch the relics of a saint of that community. Right. Because this man's bones, like this man was held in high regard. And although he was passed away, his bones were made to believe to have healing power within them. Okay. So anybody who touched these bones were made whole. Okay. This is the same concept with the water. But the thing was that somebody broke in and stole the bones out of the temple one day. Okay. And so when the priest came and found that these bones were missing, they went and stole the bones of just out of a grave. And they ended up being like the bones of a murderer. Okay. They put those bones in the case of the same person of the saint. All right. They took the murderer's bones and put them in the same case as the saint's bones. And they brought them out to this healing event that they would do every single week. Now, guess what happened? Everybody who came up and touched the case with these murderer's bones in them, they became well. Right? So that was their way of trying to cover it up. But the people became well even after touching the murderer's bones. So Keelan, what are you saying? What I'm saying is the healing power was not in the bones themselves. The healing power was in the belief of the person who said, you know what? If I touch this, I will become whole. I will become a brand new person if I touch these bones. Right? Same concept with the healing water, with the pool. If they believe they got in the water, they would become whole if they got in the water. But this man said, his response to Jesus, when Jesus asked him, would you like to get well? He says, I can't. He says, I can't. Okay, so again, he's missing this piece. And I guess it's because he doesn't get to see Jesus in the light that we get to see him in. He got to experience Jesus firsthand. But because we know of all the things that because we are at an advantage because of everything that we know. And of course, he had the advantage of being right there with Christ. But the difference is that we know by the word of God that there's nothing that we can't do. Right. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Right. The Bible also tells us that all things are possible with God. He is getting to experience Jesus at a firsthand level. So he looks Jesus in the face and he says, I can't, sir. The sick man said, he says, I have no one to put me into the pool when it bubbles up. All right. So I want to stop hammering right there. And I want to pick up with the concept of excuses. Okay, so please forgive me. Now, some of you may think it's out of context, but again, look, Revelation comes to us all differently. And I want you guys to understand that every time you read this word of God, every time you read it, it's going to come across differently. Okay, but this is the way that I was given it, in my Bible study. So I want you guys to really, really think about your situations, your circumstances, where you are in life right now. Because I believe at every turn, there's an opportunity and the opportunity is getting well, right? The opportunity is, do you want to not be depressed anymore? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have joy? Do you want to make your finances better? Do you want your relationships to be better? Do you want to become a better person? Do you want to stop being bitter? Do you want to stop being angry? Do you want to get well? Okay, so you have the opportunity. The point is whether or not you believe that you can actually become well. Sometimes the way that your situation looks, it looks like there's no hope. The man was sick for 38 years. And so you can imagine that his belief system is like, okay, I've been sick for 38 years and all of a sudden you're going to make me well. It's not even the season for this pool to get stirred. Everybody's always here ahead of me. Do you not think God knows where you're at and how long you've been there, what you've dealt with, your circumstance? Do you not think God knows that? Do you not think God understands that you have been dealing with this sexual assault for 15 or 20 years? Do you not think God has not seen that you've been struggling with the fact that you were molested as a kid? Do you not think God not sees that that you were in an abusive relationship and somebody put their hands on you or they verbally abused you and made you feel less than? Do you not think that God doesn't see that? Of course he sees it. So I want to talk to you guys about where you're at. And I need you guys to identify question number one is, what's the sickness? What's the sickness? Because once you identify the sickness, if it's alcoholism, if it's porn, if it's anger, if it's bitterness, if it's rage, if it's financial hard, like, what's the sickness? Do you have bad spending habits? What's the sickness? That needs to be identified. Okay? That needs to be identified before you can do anything to better yourself. You cannot benefit from personal development, spiritual development. You cannot be stronger or move forward until you identify what's the sickness. And this requires you to be open and honest with yourself. All right. And the other question is, do you accept where you're at in life? Have you accepted it? Because this man has been on a sick mat for 38 years. So the excuse you make to stay where you are is the mat that you lay on. Rewind. The excuse you make to stay where you are is the mat that you lay on. So as long as you lay on the mat, you can get away with underachieving. As long as you lay on the mat, you can make excuses. Now, pardon my ignorance, but as I'm reading this in the multiple versions that I've read it, it doesn't say that he was lame or paralyzed. It just says he was sick. Another version says he was an invalid, meaning he was ill or made weak by the illness. But he does have a voice, apparently. So did he scream? Did he ask for help? Because it doesn't clarify if he even asked for help. He just said, nobody will put me in. He says, by the time I get there, it's too late. So maybe he was moving. Maybe he was struggling. But maybe his actions were delayed because he didn't believe he can get there anyway. Maybe he didn't move as quick at the opportunity because he had already subconsciously thought somebody's going to get there ahead of me, so why even try? He may have talked himself out of his healing because all of his previous attempts have fallen short. So I'm not saying that the man didn't try. I'm not saying that the man didn't want to get well. I'm saying that he could have talked himself out of the tenacity that it takes to get to where he wanted to be by the time he needed to get there. But Keelan, he was an invalid. He was sick for 38 years. Absolutely. But if healing was out of the question, Jesus would have never approached him to ask him, do you want to get well? If healing was out of the question, he wouldn't have stopped by. If healing was out of the question, Jesus wouldn't have had the compassion to stop by and ask him. There were five porches, all crowded with sick people. And he was sought out by Jesus. Yes, Jesus saw every single person there. And out of the billions of people in this world, Christ himself has confronted you at some point in your life and he has asked you, do you want to get well? The question is, have you made your excuses your sick bed? Have you made it your sick mat? Do you make an excuse to stay there? Or have you done everything in your power to get out of the situation that you're in? Question number three is, how long have you been there? See, the cycle for the man by the pool was, the cycle was, every time the water is stirred, I have no one to put me in. Okay, I think out of 38 years, there could have been some different alternatives to how he could have gotten in, could have gotten somebody's attention. Maybe he could have offered to return the favor. Hey, when I'm put in and made whole, let me help you guys get in. Ah, that's the difference. But for some reason, Jesus found compassion on him because he had seen how long he's been there. And Christ has sought you out at some point because he knows how long you've been in the situation that you're in. He's confronted you. He's offered you opportunity after opportunity to get well. Have you denied or have you renounced the opportunity to get well? Okay. Now, the other thing is that when Jesus asked him, he says, I can't, sir. He says, no one will put me in. No one will put me in the water. So here's a question I have for you guys that are listening. Are you making it someone else's responsibility to change your situation? Because this seems to be a common thing that when we're looking at somebody else to change our situation, you know, we say stuff like, well, because we like to shift blame when that happens. When we're not able to get what we want to get out of life, it becomes somebody else's situation. We say, well, you always do this. Well, if you didn't do this, then I wouldn't. Well, I did that because you. Do you see where I'm going with that? We cannot continue to make our lack of productivity somebody else's situation. How is it that God has given us the ability to do all things, but yet we hold ourselves short by not being proactive? We make it somebody else's responsibility for us to get out of the situation that we're in. We make it somebody else's responsibility for us to be productive. And when it falls short, we want to shift the blame on someone else. Why is it so easy for you to quit on yourself or not even get started? You know why? Because if I can make it your fault, then that means I don't have to take ownership. If I can make it your fault, then I don't have to look at myself. If I can make it your fault, then that means I don't have to take responsibility for what I don't bring to the table. So as long as you get to dish it off on me or someone else, or you get to dish your issues on to other people, then guess what? You will never, ever change. You will stay stuck by the pool. You will be stuck next to the answer to your healing all along. And here's the crazy thing. Let me point this out. Revelation. He thought he was next to the healing. But the whole time, the healing was in himself. Jesus didn't put him in the pool. He became whole at the action of a command. He was not put in the pool. He became whole at the action of a command. Jesus told him to stand up. And after 38 years of falling short, his faith and his ability to stand up, he was made whole. Don't you realize that the answer to your issue already lies within you? Your ability to become a whole person, a strong person, an effective person, a wealthy person, a powerful person, all begins in your mindset. I told you the past 2 weeks, there's nothing we can do without Christ. The moment Christ came onto the scene, he had faith that he could stand up and walk. Why? Because Christ is the source of power. Guys, we've been hammering it. Christ is the source of power. So the source of power got in his atmosphere. It spoke into his life. He understood that he understood at that very moment that he could stand up and walk. I believe that in his conversation, I believe there was something in his spirit. The revelation of who Jesus was gave him the strength to stand up and walk. He didn't even need the water. He didn't even touch the water. Your healing power to become effective is already within you. So therefore, stop making it somebody else's responsibility for you to get out of your situation. Like, cut it out. You can't always make it somebody else's problem for you not being effective. You've gone through person after person after person because it's always somebody else's fault. Uh-oh. Maybe that's why you keep ending up in different relationships. Because you never want to accept responsibility. Maybe that's why you never have money, because you never want to accept responsibility. Maybe that's why you feel like you don't have any friends, because you have not yet realized that you're the common denominator and all your friendships going sideways. As soon as you're able to take ownership or accept that you have to take ownership for transformation, for your situation to change, boom, everything changes. because ownership requires self-inventory. This is what we've been doing the past several weeks, is self-inventory, looking at ourselves, finding our faults, and making them better. The action toward the issue is what changes your life. You cannot pray for God to change you. When you pray for God to change you, He provides the situation to make the choice to do better at the same thing that you're praying for Him to change. If I say, God, please free me from alcoholism, you better believe within the next day or so, maybe within the next hour, somebody's going to call me and ask me to drink. It is my choice to say yes or no at that moment. If you say yes, guess what? There's another year that you're by the pool waiting. God, please free me from bad spending habits. Please increase my finances. Okay. When you walk by the thing in the store that you know you shouldn't buy, or is a frivolous spend, you are now displaying how much you're willing to change. That is no one else's fault. If we really look at how we spend, if you're a person who says that you need more money or you're broke, I promise you, if you look at how you spend money, you've already been given the money to handle the things you need to handle. So we can't keep pushing it off on other people. We can't make it their responsibility to change our life or our situation. Because ultimately, it's the excuse that we tell ourselves that places us in the situations that we're in. So the main question, the last question, and this is where you got to be honest, is do you want to get well? That's the main question. Do you want to get well? Are you tired of being in the situation that you're in? Do you want to get well? Are you tired of feeling the shame and guilt from watching things you don't need to watch? Do you want to get well? Do you really want to be the same, the stand-up person that you're praying to God to be when you have the opportunity to be truthful? Are you being truthful? When you have the opportunity to get out of the financial hole that you're in, are you making the sacrifices necessary to get ahead? Do you want to be well? Do you feel like you're far away from God? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you listening to praise and worship? Like, how much time are you giving the Word of God if you want to walk closer with Him? How much time? Do you want to be effective for the kingdom of God? How many people do you pour into? Like this is my way of doing it. I try to find as many days and time as possible throughout the week for me to pour into someone. Like, I don't want to be useless for the kingdom. I want Him to say, job well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thank you for feeding my sheep. Thank you for doing what I ask you to do. Thank you for keeping my commandments. I know you weren't perfect, but you have shown me that you want to be well. You have shown me that you have faith in my ability to heal you. You have shown me that I can change things in the most wretched people. Thank you for stepping up to the plate. You have shown me. That's what I want to hear. No, that does not mean I'm perfect, but I don't want any man's praise. I just want the praise of the Lord. I want Him to tell me, job well done. Do you want to get well? Because if we have to be honest, look, we've been given opportunity after opportunity, role after role. We have been given all these chances to make Christ famous in the world. We've been given all these chances to be a light in this world, a city on the hill, if you will. We have been given these opportunities to spread light and to spread hope and joy and spread the gospel. We've been given chances, but have we done anything with the opportunity? Because I promise you, the favor of the Lord is upon you when you make His will your first priority. The enemy is great at distraction. So as long as he can keep you in your feelings, as long as he can keep you in your emotions and making these bad choices, he can keep you in your own way. Because honestly, there's nothing standing in your way between where you are and greatness. It's just your thoughts that's in the way. Your belief system is rendering you lame. Your belief system is making you blind. Your belief system is making you paralyzed. Your belief system is making you crippled. Your belief system is making you an invalid, making you think that you have to have this in order to be whole, when what makes you whole is already in you. Ah, Father God, I pray that whoever is hearing this, they're getting it. You don't need that thing, that person to make you whole. It's already in you. The fullness of God is made manifest when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. The fullness and the joy and the power of the Lord, it is within the Scripture. So the more that you study it, the more you become kin to it, the more you let it flow through your veins, the more like Christ you become, and then you realize there's nothing on this planet that can tie you down or rip you out of the hand of God. Nothing whatsoever. So I'll close with this, guys. I close with these questions. My bad, I accidentally hit my computer screen. I close with these questions. What's the sickness? Identify it. Identify it. Have you accepted where you're at in life? Question number three, how long have you been there? Because if you have seen yourself in this specific position for a long time, then there's a pattern that you're following that needs to be broken. You need to break the cycle. Number four, are you making it someone else's responsibility to change your situation? The next one, what's the excuse you tell yourself for why you're in the place you're at? Who are you shifting the blame on? And the question that should change it all for you is, do you want to get well? Father God, I pray that this word has done what you sent it out to do. May it bring people closer to you. May people see you in this message. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Yo, peace out, God. No, not God. Sorry, guys. I love y'all. I hope you have a great Sunday afternoon. I'll see y'all next week. Peace.